It is a true pleasure to greet you again, and well. We are nearing the end. This is the final chapter of this long course. I hope it has been beneficial for everyone. I, for my part, am always very positive and try to draw the most appropriate conclusions from all the courses. And as I repeated in previous presentations, we all learn from the opinions of others, from the experiences of others. Well, let's finish with a brief talk about what precursor trafficking is. In the previous chapter, we saw that yes, there is indeed drug trafficking with very specific and predominant routes, both for synthetic drugs, cocaine, heroin, and products derived from natural narcotic substances. But we can say that there are no established routes for the trafficking of precursors. There are two predominant countries in the manufacturing and origin of the illicit trafficking of precursors, which are fundamentally China and India. This does not mean that these countries are complicit in the illicit trafficking of precursors for the illegal manufacture of drugs, no. It simply suggests that there may not be adequate control. If there are a series of meetings aimed at seeking international agreements with these countries to enhance control at those exit ports, I am referring to China and India. Well, we won't go into more detail, and, as we were saying, there is no established trafficking of precursors. There are no specific routes as there are with drugs, and all of this has a very, very, very parallel evolution to the consumption of the actual product, what the consumer demands at their final destination. There is a predominance of synthetic drugs over those of natural origin. Why? Because they are much easier to make. There is no need for a specific climate, a particular region, or very specific environmental conditions. The synthetic drug we have today is clearly exemplified by fentanyl. In North America, synthetic cathinones in Africa, or even ketamine in Asia. That is the big difference, and for this reason, what predominates today is the legal production of synthetic drugs. Synthetic drugs. Clearly, cocaine remains the most sought-after drug, but little by little, I tell you, the consumption of synthetic drugs is gaining prominence and becoming more prevalent. What do we need to consider when controlling or trying to mitigate the illicit trafficking of precursors? Well, fundamentally, criminal gangs seek to obtain the necessary chemical substances for the different processes. Often, what they try to do is find those unregulated precursors and replace them with others that are regulated. These, as we have seen during the course, are called precursors or designer precursors, which is a trend that often takes advantage of the legal loopholes in various countries. To this end, we have an organization, the United Nations, which, through the JIFE, updates control lists of precursors gradually, either annually or at regular intervals, such as every few months, as a greater trend merges in the use of substances for the illicit manufacture of drugs. These new substances that were previously unregulated are being included. What is the trend of states to legislatively control these products? Well, it is to monitor, control, and prohibit certain families of products. We are seeing that drug traffickers use products that are practically identical from a molecular point of view to others that are indeed regulated. These nuisances of a product change very slightly, which is why legally, in many countries, it is no longer the same product. It happens a lot with synthetic drugs, which are very common. JIFE updates that list of oversight very frequently. In line with this, I repeat, the trend, and possibly a good solution, especially for those of us who have a more law enforcement-oriented view of precursor trafficking, is that these families of precursors, that is, due to molecular alteration, should not be considered a sufficiently important or significant fact to classify them as a different product. That is to say, two products that normally do not have any other industrial or commercial use, as logically the trend is for all products in that same family to be regulated. What are we going to see in this chapter? Well, we are going to look at the tools we have to identify that illicit trafficking of precursors. I know for a fact, and in addition to the true professionals you have seen during this course, those tools that JIFE has, which we discussed regarding the Form D, the online PIN, the precursor incident communication systems, the Project Prisma, the Cohesion Project, and 2021, are fundamentally for understanding where we find the problem of diversion. We will also discuss the main points of diversion in this session, in this chapter. I can tell you that there are no predetermined routes, but logically, there are certain producing countries of these precursors where that diversion is likely to occur. Well, we are now entering into what the DIFE has in terms of tools for control. Let's start with the Form D. Then we will look at the online PIN, which is the precursor incident notification, the precursor incident communication systems, and the so-called Project Prisma and Cohesion Project, depending on whether the precursors are related to synthetic drugs, cocaine, or heroin. Very broadly, and the truth is that I believe it is very important to emphasize these tools we have. Once again, although I repeat, we have already seen them with theories, but it is very important because it will give us a concrete understanding of the level of trafficking of the incidence of precursor diversion in terms of the Form D of what we are talking about. I can currently say that there are 113 countries that are adhering to the completion of this Form D. What will those adhering countries report? What are they going to report? They will report the annual data on seizures. And we are talking about Table 1 and Table 2 of the 1988 Convention of the United Nations. They will also report the annual data on seizures of unregulated substances. I repeat, all the data we have on unregulated substances will give us a very clear view of the trend of new substances so that we can regulate them in the future and include them in the lists of Schedules 1 and 12 of the 1988 Convention. Of course, what do we also need to report? The adhering countries, the methods of diversion, the illicit manufacturing methods of those precursors, the seized shipments, the thefts related to these substances, but also 2021. We will conduct an annual review, reporting annual information on imports, exports, legitimate uses, and legitimate needs for substances included in those tables we have previously discussed. As an example, of course you will have thousands of examples, possibly much more significant than this one. In Spain, we were given a case several years ago of an importation of about 2,000 kilograms of ephedrine, when the legal needs of Spain reported in these forms of the United Nations indicated that the legal requirement in Spain was only a few hundred kilos, likely not reaching 200 kilograms on an annual basis for ephedrine. What happened? We saw that there was an import of 2,000 kilograms of ephedrine, and logically, this import raises concerns about its possible illicit destination. And it is true, in this case it was a legal company that was sold to some criminals, to a gang of criminals, so that under that guise of legality they could continue importing precursors that would otherwise be impossible to import legally. Regarding prior sport, notification, the pen online. It is important to mention that there are currently 169 countries involved. What will it serve us? This notification must always be made before the export takes place, and whenever the importing state requests it. Zweitausendein normally, it is the signatory countries of the 88 Commission that notify these transactions involving controlled substances. Why do I reiterate the term controlled? Because currently, since the year 2002, there is also another notification system, which is the PEN online light system, that informs about exports of uncontrolled substances. I repeat, knowing about those uncontrolled substances and presuming an illicit diversion in many cases helps us achieve greater control. Greater control. Well, the next tool we are going to look at is the so-called PICS, Precursor Incident Communication System, which is an online communication tool, Zweitausendein. This incident communication system will allow for real-time communication, which is really important. Regarding incidents involving precursors, what this will provide is an exchange of information between national authorities, which will facilitate investigations in most cases. 1. Faster detection of precursor diversion. This system also provides information on the evolution of the situation regarding uncontrolled chemical substances in relation to new substances, which will also determine the complexity of the routes used by drug traffickers for the diversion of these precursors. It will also account for the geographical extent of the designer precursors that we have mentioned are currently in vogue as substitutes for those precursors that are already controlled or included in the international control list. The PICS also provide guidance, offering clues to national authorities on how to uncover links between seizures, that is, to understand what relationship may exist between seizures and to determine whether a single seizure or multiple seizures, pardon, may belong to the same organization. In that case, it will allow us to seize more drugs or detect more attempts at diversion. In summary, what is the PIC? It is a tool that will help governments analyze the most recent and innovative modus operandi used by criminal gangs. It will identify those risk profiles used to more easily detect the illicit trafficking of precursors. N. Well, as a statistic to conclude this section, in relation to the PICS, we can say that annually, in recent years, around 800 incidents involving precursors have been reported, meaning 800 potential investigations that have been communicated between states. We understand that it is a foundation that needs to be nurtured with great care, because it is true that here we have a fundamental communication tool for states to detect those lawful diversions of precursors. Now, let's talk very briefly about what the PRISMA project and the Cohesion project are. to say that they are two international communication platforms regarding the monitoring of the legitimate trade of chemical substances that can be used for the illicit manufacture of drugs. What is its purpose, essentially? To launch and prepare very specific, concrete operations with a very limited duration. For what purpose? To obtain intelligence on the trafficking of precursors. To say that the PRISMA project will control the substances related to the illicit manufacture of amphetamine-type stimulants, while the Cohesion project fundamentally focuses on those substances related to the trafficking, I mean, the illicit manufacture of cocaine and heroin. Common to both projects, we say that through JIFE, there are established focal points that receive alerts about suspicious shipments of precursors. The alerts can be special or automatic notifications and are disseminated through the aforementioned communication system, the PICS, we have seen previously. Well, since we have seen at the beginning that there are no predetermined routes, there are no specific paths. For example, the route of the Amazon basin. The route goes from the area of Ecuador. No, this does not exist. It is true, and we have repeated before that there are some producing countries, producers of precursors. Chemicals are normally produced in China and India, as I mentioned earlier, in the vast majority of cases. So, we are going to provide a brief overview of the main points of diversion, and we will impose some restrictions by type of drug, specifically amphetamine-type drugs. There are several substances that can be used for the application of this type of drugs. We talk about ephedrine and pseudoephedrine. We talk about norepinephrine and ephedra. We talk about the esbelfat, phenylacetic acid, the apanapar, and recently audited maps regarding ephedrine and isoephedrine, the producing countries, as we have repeated, and will be very common for many of the substances we will discuss, are China and India, and recipient countries, which we have indeed observed. The recipient countries for amphetamine and methamphetamine products for the continent of Oceania, Australia and New Zealand, where they do coincide. Regarding anhydroephedrine and ephedra, which is the plant, we can say that it has a limited illicit trade. Why? Well, because they should be using other products that are much easier to obtain and much easier to divert. The largest amounts are in the USA and Australia, with China as the country of origin. As for PP, phenylacetic acid, apimapar, well, there is practically no legal trade. Many of these products are quickly monitored because they have no legitimate uses. They are not legitimate. So the producing countries where the largest seizures have occurred, which may not be the same, are the Netherlands, Belgium, Mexico, or Poland in the case of the PP, and Mexico in the case of phenylacetic acid. Regarding the manufacture of LMDMA and its analogues, we can say that these substances, which we have reflected, in all their forms, such as 3,4-MP, methyl liquidate, 3,4-acid, and a whole bunch of others, including piperonal, have a limited illicit trade, with the exception of some esters. The largest seizures involve piperonal. Piperonal is a substance that is widely used in perfumery due to its fragrance. Regarding products such as safrole, safrole-rich oils, or isosafrole, which also have limited illicit trade, perhaps because they have fallen somewhat out of use, the largest seizures, like much of the synthetic drugs, are in the Netherlands and Russia. Regarding PP, phenylacetic acid, the PANAP and repetitive map is practically non-existent. Well, something that does affect us more as a region in the Andean area is the illicit trafficking of precursors, in this case, cocaine. What is the star precursor? Well, it is potassium permanganate. Potassium permanganate, as my colleagues have explained. Very, very well, because you have the pleasure of seeing those presentations, is an oxidant that is used. Evidently, for cocaine in the intermediate stages of that drug from the raw cocaine, that non-consumable drug, to a more active, consumable form of cocaine. Well, we can say that the producing countries converge, in this case China, India, or the USA. They are producers of potassium permanganate, and logically, the most seizures occur in those countries that produce cocaine, which are Colombia, Bolivia, Chile, or Venezuela. Regarding the production of heroin, it is logical that the highest number of seizures of products used in the manufacture of this legal drug, in this case adrenoacetic acid, occur. This product is very, very, very typical and specific for the production of heroin. The various seizures, I repeat, would be in Turkey and Pakistan. And we are going to finish the presentation with regard to fentanyl. All those precursors of NPP, AP-BOC, AP, and norfentanyl. We can say that all these products are manufactured in China. And the largest seizures are logically in Mexico and the USA. Well, friends, we have finished the course. I usually say that it has been a real pleasure to have been able to have your attention for a little while. I hope I have been helpful in addressing some of the questions you may have had during the presentations. I hope we can see each other soon in our respective countries. It would be a true pleasure for me to visit you, and of course, I am at your complete disposal for anything you may need. A big hug to everyone. And Zweitausend Dein, and I repeat, I hope to see you all soon. A warm greeting from Spain. Thank you. Tausend Dank.